Hi everyone, and hope you are well. I will admit it's slightly strange recording this knowing that it will be used when I'm on holiday. But that's one of the benefits of this new technology that we're using at the moment. But whether we're happy with this new technology or not, Paul's challenge from Ephesians this week is about living as new people. And it's a challenge that reaches out to us, even in the restrictions we're living under. And as we think about that and what Paul has to say, we'll also reflect on the work of CAP as we prepare for CAP Sunday. Now, in this passage, having called for the believers to recognise what Christ has done for them and to be united in Christ as a body is united to its head, Paul goes on to speak about some of the practical outworking of that. If this is who we are, what are we supposed to do? And partway through, he comes up with a challenging list of behaviours that he expects to see in the lives of these believers because of what Jesus has done for them. I'm just going to comment briefly about some of them. In verse 25, he calls on them to speak truthfully to each other. And most people recognise that speaking truth is something the Bible calls for. We get it in the Ten Commandments, we get it throughout the Bible. But the specific reason that Paul gives here for speaking truth is that we are members of the same body. We're united in Christ. And just as our hands and feet don't try to mislead our noses, so we're called to live in honest relationship with each other. We speak this way because of the relationship Jesus has drawn us into. Then in verses 26 and 27, he goes on to speak about anger. And Paul here is not arguing that we shouldn't get angry, but he's saying that we should be in control of ourselves even when we are angry, and that we shouldn't be angry for long. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns against the act of being angry and the consequences of that. But he's also angry himself when seeing someone suffering. So there seems to be a difference between being angry with someone and being angry with circumstances and suffering that people are in. But that is not Paul's point here. He is assuming that people will get angry, but he wants them to realise that being angry is not justification for sinning. How far back do you think you need to go to remember a time when you sinned because you were angry? A day? A week? A month? You can't remember. If it's not the last one, then this is something that you need to hear and respond to and put off old behaviours and to positively choose to put on new ones. And then Paul continues to focus on anger and the question of how long we should allow ourselves to be angry. And he uses this strange expression, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." Now, I can't do anything to prevent the sun going down. So I need to focus on how long I hold on to my anger. And Paul is basically saying that even if we do get angry, and however angry we get, we should be willing to let it go at the end of the day. That when we wake up the following morning, that anger is gone. The bitterness that might have come with it has gone. The resentment we may have felt towards the person we were angry with has gone. And this reason isn't mainly about relationships between believers, though that's important. But it's about ensuring that the devil does not get a look in. If we hold resentment and anger for a long time, between couples, within a family, within a church. And I know of situations where people have held it for years and it damages relationships, it restricts the ability to work together, it can spread to impact others as well. Long-held anger can have a real negative impact on the body of Christ and the work of the church. And Paul is clear that we should not allow it. How are we going to respond to that? Is there some long-held anger and bitterness that we need to leave behind us, either by leaving it with God or by trying to restore what is broken in our relationships? Then Paul comes up with another strange phrase in verse 28, anyone who has been stealing. Paul is not coming out and saying that he knows someone is stealing, but he's acknowledging that it is possible. And if people are doing this, he wants them to stop. And he's not arguing for this on the basis of stealing being wrong although as a well-educated Jew, he would have known that it was. But his motive is that instead of being someone who's taking what does not belong to them, he wants the believers to be able to share what they have earned with those who are in need. It's the reverse. Instead of a damaging and destructive way of life, Paul is calling for a generous, sacrificial, giving way of life. And this is because we are called to have new attitudes, new motives, and a desire to follow God's example and standards of righteousness and holiness. And then in verses 29 to 31, Paul goes on to speak about other things that should characterise the believers, including how we speak and what we say, about not living in a way that would grieve the Spirit, not acting out of bitterness, not slandering, not acting maliciously. All important things to think about, to reflect on, and to examine ourselves to see whether how we live is consistent with who we are in Christ. But as we think about CAP this weekend, I want to focus on a couple of key things in this passage, one at the beginning and one at the end. In verse 17, Paul calls the believers to not live like the Gentiles, those who are not Jews and those who have not come to a saving faith in Jesus. And he's not very complimentary about these people who have not yet come to know Jesus. He speaks about their futile thinking, about their darkened understanding, about their ignorance, their hard-heartedness, insensitivity, impurity, greed. It's an interesting commentary on Paul's world and what he saw around him. It's just as interesting a commentary on our world today. But it is reasonable to stop for a moment and ask whether or not Paul is being a bit over the top. I'm sure we can each think of people who are not yet believers in Jesus, but who seek to live a good and helpful life. They are there for others. They think deeply about what is right. They are kind. They give generously to those in need. While CAP, for example, has a Christian emphasis, there are other non-faith-based organisations who seek to help those in financial need. And they do a good job. I find it's helpful to think about motives and expectations. When someone gets involved in doing something good, a charity, a fundraising for someone in need, helping those experiencing famine, helping to rebuild homes destroyed by earthquakes, there's a reason for doing so. It could be to make them feel better in themselves, but it's more likely about seeking to help and support fellow human beings in their need and suffering. There's a desire to make someone else's life better, easier, more fulfilling. And all of these things are good. We should recognise them and celebrate them. But without an experience of, without a relationship with God, people cannot have the motive of demonstrating God's love or introducing people to Jesus. And this is the most significant and important change in anyone's life. And without that, the most vital piece is missing. And so however good their thinking is, however helpful their actions are, it's eventually futile in terms of what really, eternally matters. And many times when I speak with Tim and Chris and Annette, it is clear that the thing that drives them in what they do is their love for Jesus and their desire to express that love to others. Not that people need to be receptive to God for CAP to try to help. That is not a requirement. But that their relationship with God is what motivates the team. It gives them the strength. It gives them the capacity to share, to care, to give of themselves. And this isn't just about the CAP staff, but volunteers who come alongside us as befrienders, all those who contribute financially, all those who pray, all those who support, all those who contribute to hampers. As we come to Jesus, we put off our old ways of thinking and acting, and we put on something new, something that encourages us to come alongside and bless those who are in need. Not because we get a buzz out of doing it, not because we see it as our civic duty, but because of the change that Jesus has made in our lives. And then Paul makes a similar point at the end of this chapter, as he calls on people to be kind and compassionate to each other, to forgive each other in the same way as God forgave us in Christ. Paul's specific focus in this verse is on how people in the church act towards each other. And this is an important message for us to hear and to be reminded of, that this is the type of behaviour we should demonstrate to each other. And it is behaviour I see demonstrated regularly and consistently here in so many ways. And it is a delight and a privilege to see it and be part of a community that lives this way. But there will be occasions when we don't live up to the standards that Paul calls for here, or the standards we set for ourselves. Let's be prepared to recognise that when it happens. Let's have the grace to deal with it well, and let's renew our commitment to live compassionate and forgiving lives because of how God has treated us gently and kindly. But it does not just apply to dealings within the church. It can motivate how we engage with people outside. Just as we have received grace and compassion and forgiveness, so we can extend that to others. And Cap is again a prime example of that. Not that we are called to forgive those in debt. They haven't necessarily done anything wrong, and almost certainly not anything wrong against us. But often those who are struggling financially are also struggling in other ways, mentally, relationally, spiritually. And one of the things Cap does is provides an opportunity to bring someone something of the compassionate, gentle, forgiving, restoring and healing character of God into the lives of people who desperately need to experience it. And again, we do it because of what we have first received in Christ. CAP as a ministry is something that flows out of our relationship with God. It's motivated by a desire to share what we have received from God with others. It enables us to bring something of God's love and nature into the lives of those who need it. And this is great, and it's good, and it needs to be celebrated. It is also what motivates and drives our other ministries, such as 5-Minus, Fusion, when it's able to operate again, the recent Deliver Crew initiative, and so much more. Things that we organise as church, things that we do as individuals because we are church. Let's recognise that, let's celebrate that, and let's seek new and different opportunities to share what we have received with others. Here are some questions to think about. Which of the positive behaviours that Paul calls for do you find most difficult? In what ways is what Christ has done in your life encouraging you to bless others? And how does the work of CAP demonstrate the attitudes Paul is calling for here? And how can you demonstrate them in your context? May God bless us as we seek to live as the people that God has called us to be.